As you look back at it now,
what do you think
have been the most significant things that have shaped the redevelopment process since you've been involved?
Well, I think the floods created the redevelopment process. I don't know, even to this day, whether we would have had redevelopment per se in 2008.
That was the thing that pushed Danbury into it.
Well, because at the time, redevelopment was an active mode in federal circles for grant money. Danbury really was not of a mind to seek that kind of money and do that kind of activity, and only because of the flood. We saw it as a vehicle.
We didn't think about ourselves.
We weren't thinking of planning per se, the future per se. I don't think we didn't even have any idea that the growth of this area would be what it is. And in those days, we were still operating hat factories, fur factories. Just, in fact, hat factories that having was still an active industry.
In the 50s.
In those early days. Mm-hmm. And it was only during those early days that it began to be downhill. Rapidly.
Mm-hmm. So without the floods, we probably would still have thought of ourselves as a...
We wouldn't have known we had to do something until we'd been involved with a real slow economy because Hatting was eventually dead anyhow. The bringing in of new industries was functioning and was working, but it wasn't doing anything to the central business district or the core of the city at all. It was simply supplying and replacing jobs for the existing...
The bars and those that are on the outside.
Yeah, the bars and the eagle punch. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Those came in those air conditioning. In fact, another one of the thrusts of flood control, the second phase, was the American Cyanam planning to leave their location because they will be damaged. Mm-hmm. Terribly by the river. Oh yeah, the river went right around their building. You can't see it today because the new channel cuts that off.
Yeah.
But it was an ass right around their building. And they used to get...
And they were actually talking about...
And they were talking about they needed to expand, they needed more, they eventually did the add-on to their building. But prior to that time, there was no room for further expansion, so rather than hobble along with this building, they were planning to be... So part of the flood control plan was not only to relieve them by changing the channel over here, but also make 3 acres available to them for expansion.
Right.
And we did a great plan and pushed our own plan.
Interesting. You know, little things like that affected the way the plan went.
Sure. Yeah,
very
sure.
Real.
Yeah.
Practical considerations.
Right. Sure. You had to take a pragmatic approach to some of the things because that's the way it
that's
was.
That's right. Those are the people who needed relief.
And, yeah.
Now, when it got, when it started rolling, the floods got them going. What would you? It seems to me that the federal government's changes and rules are the things that shape the way it worked out. Is that?
Yeah. Well, because by and large, we went by their rules.
Mm-hmm.
We did things that we thought would be helpful to us within their framework of regulations.
We had to fit within them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, to some extent, every city had to do the same thing as far as that goes. The aspect that dealt with saving buildings and preserving neighborhoods and so on wasn't even...
I was thinking even, you know, the kinds of things you did. A lot of times we say, well, what did Danbury do? A lot of times we didn't have an option to do whatever we wanted to do.
No. Nor did we have the ability to plan ahead and think about what we might want to do.
Because the rules required those...
Yeah.
Just the incremental approach.
There's one map that just says new state college facilities. And that area from Chichester Place. And this is just opposite 8th Avenue.
In planning this, coming up with, this seems to me to be the downtown master plan, really.
Yeah. Right.
Did you have outside input? I mean, did people?
Well, Technical Planning Associates was.
They're the ones who were. Is that when you got involved with them?
Well, they were involved with the city with flood control. The first, before I ever started to work with them, planning TPA was the planning consultant to put the plan together
1957.
Well, they lasted a long time. They were hanging in there right in.
Yeah. Well, and subsequent to that, they got the plan of development work for the first planning commission.
When did they get involved? Do you have with the city, I wonder? Before you came?
Well, it was a redevelopment agency in 56, yeah, 57. Well, it would have been in 57, because that's when the agency was first...
And they were involved in the 80s.
They put the plan to get the first project approved, so they did the part one before I was ever even hired. TPA in those days, it was a small
firm. What do you think about TPA? Has their role been significant?
I think their role has been significant, and I think, in general, their role has been a positive one.
Mm-hmm.
They had a lot of the thinking, they generated a lot of the thinking that didn't exist in the city by presenting thoughts to the people who were shakers and movers.
That's what I'm wondering. Yeah, that's...
Yeah, they did. They did. They were very...
Were there any individuals, Jerry, there with TPA? Are they still in New Haven?
Yeah.
Is there anybody,
Mr. Sacco, who's president of the firm now, Bert Sacco.
Was he involved early?
Well, he came on, his predecessor, who fought by the name of Larry Moore, who was an older man at the time, is no longer, I think, deceased.
Mm-hmm.
But Bert Sacco was hired as a young fellow out of, I know he graduated from Yale, I'm not sure if it was Yale School of Engineering, or whether he got his engineering.
Mm-hmm.
He has a background in engineering and planning.
Mm-hmm. Do you think, Jerry, that it would be worth my while to talk to him?
Well, I think in a sense, if you want some more background information about, he would have things that went on. Well, he wasn't there when Larry Moore was right. He came in about the time I did.
Okay.
But
well, my thought would be,
I worked
what influences on him in determining what
yes.
Danbury.
No, he be able to give you good input on all of these plans, because he was instrumental in putting it in this form.
Mm-hmm.
They put this book together.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I would, it sounds like a good, are there other people you can think of, local people or anyone that has had an impact on?
Those that had a local impact are gone now, except for Joe Canale, who's still here, of course.
Yeah. Is this your only copy of that?
This is the office copy.
Mm-hmm. Could I use that here if I have to use it? Do you, Jerry, I know you've been involved in the history of the community for a long time. You mentioned the new businesses moving in, like Barden's and those. Do you have any sense of how they happened to come here and the whole process of relocation of them from somewhere else?
Well, some of the businesses that came in here came as a result of the Danbury Industrial Corporation.
What do you know about them? Do you have any knowledge?
I only have a little bit of knowledge of them.
I hear about them.
You get most information on them from, we'd love to tell you about it. I'll think of it. My wife kicks me now. She does the same thing with the AD. I know, even to this day, he's still secretary, I think, officially of the corporation.
It still exists.
Yes. Oh, yes, it still owns several buildings in the Shelter Rock area.
It does.
Connor Engineering, used to be Connor Engineering, was one of theirs. The original, it's Might now, but it used to be...
Now, was he involved has he been involved for a long time?
Yeah. He was in CLMP, or I should say, he was a major, whether he was a district manager or he was in the
This would be back post-World War II?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'd love to talk to him if you think of his name.
I will definitely think of his name. He might be listed as a director of the Daniel Investment Corporation. They still have stock outstanding. You see, in those days, when they first formed the corporation years and years ago, they formed it with some local industrial people who felt that Danbury was tied to just the hatting industry. And in fact, I think even some of the hatting industry big deals thought that they were going to have to help the community beyond what they can do, frankly. And so they sold shares of stock community, and they formed the Danbury Industrial Corporation. In fact, when my father died, at this state we had.
There were some shares?
Yeah, some shares, $10 a piece or something. That's the last time I talked. Dick Gretsch.
Okay.
G-R-E-T-S-C-H. I've heard of him, yeah. Richard Gretsch. He's an officer, director of the Danbury Savings Bank.
Right, right.
He's in Newtown. You've seen his
name. I have, definitely. Right.
Well,
definitely.
Dick Gretsch can give you... He'll give you two more takes on the industrial corporation.
I'd love to, because, you know, this is a theme that I have seen reading the old newspapers, a concern way back in the early 20th century for we got to get more businesses than the hatting industry, and they're trying to do it. And that's been partly why the Chamber of Commerce was organized, to try to do that, and evidently they weren't successful until the Danbury Industrial Corporation came on.
But then, impetus was created beyond the industrial corporation, sometimes, you know, things get started and cities begin to get an aura about it. Stanford began to be a corporate community, so people knew about it.
So they
knew anybody in Stanford or not. They read it in an in-house magazine or they read it in a newspaper article or something. And they say, hey, you know, what about Stanford? Well, then it got to be the same. What about Danbury?
It's a good place
to be. One began to bring them up. And some of these corporate people with higher levels mingled with other corporate people.
Right.
Meetings and seminars and so on. You know, come to Danbury, they were great when you were there. You know, it was a lot of land and it just sort of
That's
grows.
Sure. That sounds.
And the politicians take vows for how much they
do. What have we done? Gee, I don't want to put you on tape with that.